Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Are you one of the 2 in 5 Americans wanting to start your own business or already a business owner? Stay tuned. This show is about starting and growing your business. Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we learn why and how ordinary people just like you started and grew their businesses, and we also talk about the intellectual property that helps protect your innovations.
And now we have the amazing Stacy Sherman with Doing CX Right. Stacy flies all over the country giving presentations on this. She also helped me start the Meetup Pod Experience. We do it together. We're co-hosts. And I just can hardly wait to hear her. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you so much.
Tell us about Doing Customer Service Right.
I have been in corporate major brands for over 25 years. And last year, corporate left me. What that means is that I got that dreaded call, wasn't expecting it, and there was a board meeting and a decision to cut from the top, got the phone call unexpectedly, and they said, sorry, you're done. And I was grieving. I was grieving my team. I was grieving the loss of my identity in corporate. That's all I've ever known is being in a corporate box in an org chart. And I was grieving, and then I was getting really sad, opposite of happiness happens, in that I didn't understand grieving. Like, what do you mean I'm grieving? Nobody died. So I've learned that grieving is not just from death. Grieving is any loss. Then fast forward a little time, took some pause. Luckily, both my kids were just about ending college. One was done, one was about to. And so I saw it as a sign that the timing of this is really interesting. By the way, what I didn't say, and important to the story, is that I started a blog in around 2016, 2017, actually writing about what I was doing in corporate, and that is how to differentiate a company and create loyalty as your brand differentiator. People buy based on how they feel, not just based on price. And that is a good example why I buy Starbucks. It is not because I like to pay triple the price. Anyway, so I started with a blog. I didn't know if anyone would ever read it, and they did. And then I got all this feedback. And so I'm doing my corporate thing and writing my blog on the side. And then I said, well, what else could I do to share the knowledge? Because I'm tired as a customer of bad experiences. I'm also tired as an employee of bad experiences, and one fuels the other. You can't have a good customer experience without a good employee experience who's fueling that customer excellence. And so then I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go be a guest on 50 shows. That was my mission, to go share this free content, way so much free content. That's all I was doing as a hobby, is free content. On those shows, I got to experience what a great guest experience looks like and what a bad one looks like. And so once I learned that from 50 shows, then I said, okay, I've always been the guest. Now I'm going to be the host of the party. And then I started my own show. And it is really funny to listen to show one versus now at 132. So I learned a lot. Now let me tell you, for those who are listening, best advice, take the microphone out of the box. What do I mean? 6 months it took me to start my show and be the host of Doing CX Right because I had fear. I had fear of the technology. I didn't have fear speaking. I'd done that so much under a corporate brand, but I had fear of the technology. I had fear of doing it so perfectly. And so I tell you a couple things. That is, take the microphone out of the box. Also, start before you know why. Start the blog, start the podcast, start sharing your passion before you know why. Because now that I'm out of corporate, I have a brand before I even understood what I was building. And so now I have the business of speaking as a keynote on doing customer experience right and going and advising companies so that they can really measure whether it's satisfaction, whether it's happiness, and even the leaders who are responsible for the employees to be able to pay it forward to the customers and how to do that right.
So, Stacy, why did you decide at this point not to look for another corporate job and just to jump into entrepreneurship?
Oh, such a good question. Well, truth be told, every single day, my hand goes to the computer where my resume sits, and I am about to hit the button and go back. Again, I've taken no breaks for over 25 years. And every day to this moment, I go to hit that button and submit my resume, and then I pull my hand back because I am betting on myself, which is not comfortable. I'm learning what that means. I've always bet on my kids. And now I'm getting the chance to bet on myself and learn what entrepreneurship is about. And so I'm just starting year two. And I'm getting comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think when you're in a corporate environment, it's the organization that is facing the world. And you're facing what's going on internally. But when you're an entrepreneur, you're facing the world. It's like being a ship in a storm sometimes. The wave comes from one direction, then the other direction. You don't have a big ship there blocking the waves for you. You've got to take those on yourself. But the advantage is you're quicker and you can learn to ride the waves.
I'm learning what that means. I've been in the corporate box. The hardest part actually is process and scalability of what I do. And so now I invested in a platform that's actually for speakers, and it actually centralizes everything from my CRM, my email campaigns, my social media, my QuickBooks, my booking links, everything centralized. So now it's operationalizing what I do.
I want to go back to the customer experience stuff because that's what you do, right? That's what you teach people. What are some of the findings that you've kind of picked up on, like throughout your experience with those 50 shows that you were on? And if you had to pick like two of those examples, how would you maybe coach somebody to the other side of that?
What I see is that people do not intentionally map out the customer journey. Now, customer has different meaning. In the podcast space, a customer is the audience and listeners. The customer can be your sponsor and that experience. Your customer can be a partner. In business, your customer are the buyers, and your customers are also your vendors and your internal people delivering the experience. So designing an experience, let me explain. Think about you buying the coffee you're drinking. Well, somebody had to literally design, how are you going to learn about their product? How are you going to buy? E-commerce, retail, salesperson, learn, buy, get, use, pay, and then customer service is the help. And I have to say out loud that customer service and customer experience are not the same thing. One, customer service is a piece of the whole journey. And so a pet peeve of mine that I educate people is they are not the same thing. So you cannot say customer service is interchangeable with customer experience because customer experience is the whole journey. And customer service is where you are proactively getting help because there's a problem. And that does impact the whole journey.
Scott Clary.
I have a question for you. You just mentioned how the customer for a podcast is a listener. From a CX lens, have you thought about how to craft the perfect customer experience for a podcast listener? How do we do that?
One, feedback. Ask them, how do you like to consume content? What's the content that matters to you? So as a podcaster, I have designed literally from walking in my customer audience shoes, walking in my guest. I have an interview base. So literally before you even get on the show, the experience of how you will experience, do I send you questions? Mm-hmm. Do I follow up with you before the day? Do I send you what you need before you show up? Do I make you comfortable even on the recording? And so feedback is a gift. And all you have to do in business and in content is ask and then use it and close the loop.
Yeah, I love that. Because I think that a lot of people, creators, they're shouting their content, but they don't realize that the audience may not want to receive it the way that they're broadcasting it out to the universe. And from a CX lens, you realize that the audience is a customer and the product is a podcast. And I think you probably realize that more than most people when they start.
Absolutely. And one of the things that any company can do, I was in a department of new product development. And we had a customer experience team that would ask people for feedback before launch. Before you go to market, does this meet your needs? Why or why not? And come back and work with the product teams and actually in an agile style, fix it before it goes out the door. But what happens is with a lot of companies, whether you're new or existing, because you're always putting out new products, you launch it, go to market, hope it sticks. Yes, you need to get feedback post-launch. Same thing with a podcast. Get feedback before you launch, because then you waste so much money and time and resources if you don't get that upfront information.
Sometimes people just don't want to know.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's something I go to companies and say, that the knowledge is power. You want to know the feedback. You cannot design an experience internally. It's got to be designing it with your customer in mind, not just from the employee or staff.
Yeah, and I would just add to that and say that I find a lot of podcasters don't know their audience, right? Like if I ask them, who's your audience? Like how old are they? What do they like? Like behaviorally, like they can't articulate that. So my podcast, like I know for sure I'm talking to women 18 to 44 who are multicultural moms, right? And it's very niche, but to your point, it creates an experience because when you know exactly who you're talking to, then you know how to talk to them.
Scott had brought up a couple of places where you can go to really get good information on who your podcast audience is.
You can obviously look at your analytics tools. You can put out a survey, use a type form to actually get information from your podcast audience. But Raphonic is a good tool because it shows every single podcast, not just yours. If you want to look at yours, you have all your social platforms. You can see what age, what demo, what city, what country, all that stuff. But Raphonic also shows other podcasts, other demographics, what shows are similar to other shows. So you can start to see other people's analytics as well.
And that's spelled R-E-P-H-O-N-I-C.
I actually, in my newsletter, I'll ask if the content resonates with the audience. And I'll say, like, how was this podcast? Because it's an easy medium to communicate.
Right.
I mean, you could also put up surveys on Twitter and LinkedIn, but newsletter was easy, so I would do that.
Final word, Stacey, and then we want to know where to find you.
I would say keep doing customer experience right if you're a business owner, because that is a competitive advantage. And if you don't understand what that means, how to do it, how to design the experience, call me. Reach out to me at doingcxright.com.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 31 markets across the United States. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinators Alicia Morrissey and Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.